What's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of Household and Homestead. We haven't done one of these in a while. It's been a little bit of time. I think COVID was probably whenever we were doing more of these. Now we're back to talk about something that's not often discussed, but should be. But should be often discussed. If you guys are looking for places to find more episodes, you can find Household and Homestead on any feed where you find your local podcasts, whether that be Apple Podcasts or Amazon Podcasts or Spotify or blah, 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 blah. You can also find it on sermonaudio.com. Search keyword We Are Christchurch to find the archives, as we like to call it. The archives. I mean, I feel like that makes us more legitimate whenever we can say, go to the archives.
For thousands of resources.
Thousands, literally thousands of resources to help you better live the Christian life and serve the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Indeed.
Today we got a fun topic, though. no COVID. But Pastor Brandon, where are we going?
Today we are talking about the talk.
The talk.
The talk. This is Household and Homestead. We talk about all things family.
Mm-hmm.
Family related.
That's right.
Family farm related.
Right.
Family fun related. And one of the most important things is having the talk with your kids.
Having the talk with the kids. That's right. I should also take a minute to say that if you have animals on your property, it does make it a lot easier.
Indeed. That, in fact, precipitates much of the talk in our house.
That's right.
How's your farm doing, by the way?
It's doing good, man. We have ducks now. What? We have ducks and quail. We have ducks and quail. Our ducks have laid eggs and are setting them on their own. So we're going to see if we have ducklings in the backyard.
I'm looking forward to getting some of those quail from you.
We will eat. Well, man, so I'm about to cull a bunch of them here in about 3 weeks. So you should come by and we'll divvy them up.
I'm wondering if I should raise my own flock or just trade with you. Or they seem so easy.
Well, you have sheep now, right? Don't you have sheep?
We got sheep and rabbits and turkey.
See, I see swaps coming up, man. But see, I can only have about 40 at a time in my cages. I've got about a 5 foot by 16 foot, 6 foot tall space. We let them fly, you know, give them a little bit of
room to fly. Yeah, exactly. I like that.
Yeah. And so because of that, I can only really fit about 40 to 50 at a time in a space like that. So that might not be enough to fully supply both of our homes, but maybe it would. I don't know.
Well, I mean, it's not the only source of meat.
That's also
just
true.
One.
That's also
one.
True. I'm going to have about 20 ducks here, though, in about a month and a half.
I like that.
So that is very exciting for me.
We recently, we raised our two wethers, two male sheep.
Yeah.
And it was such a great experience. We processed them and we ate them, and it was so delicious. It was such a great experience that I decided to get a flock. So I have four ewes and one buck. And
they're bucks. They're not rams. They're called bucks.
The rams and ewes. No, they're rams.
They're rams. Right. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
I get them mixed up with deer occasionally.
What happens?
And you can actually interchange some of the words. But, yeah, I want to raise up my own. And so why are you doing all this, though? Why do you have a little family farm?
Oh, I have many reasons. Which ones are we allowed to say on the air? I don't know.
All of the above.
All right. Well, here we go. So the first reason, obviously, is it's fun with my kids. They have a lot of fun. Like, we go outside. We take care of the animals. My oldest daughter has a literal chicken leash that she puts our chickens on and walks them around. We're real weird, obviously.
Yeah. As long as it's not on a cat.
It's not on a cat, no. And then we also did it because, so first off, it's fun with the kids. It gives everybody something to do. Helps with work ethic. All those kinds of fun things. But also, whenever COVID first hit and all the food scare questions kind of went into play, I realized that I don't know how to do any of this.
Sure.
Like if a scenario enters in which I don't know, we can't find ready access to food. Because remember the beef, all the protein shortages, honestly, back in March and April of last year, beef was running out, chicken was running out. They just didn't have it in the stores. And so when I realized that that could be a thing that would happen maybe on a larger scale, potentially, I was like, oh, well, I should learn how to do these things. So really, it's me learning. It's me doing it wrong a lot.
Working to learn.
Yeah. And then eventually I figure out, oh, this works or this doesn't. Like, I'm going to do okra this year because I've learned that okra is incredibly prolific.
Down here.
Yeah. You don't have to do anything here. You just put it in the ground. You don't even have to water it. It grows and produces, you know, probably about 5 to 10 pounds worth of okra per plant.
So just working to learn. I mean, you probably won't ever work to earn.
No.
But you'll be able to develop skills to pass down to your kids.
And my kids can work to earn, though. That's the cool part.
They might be able to...
they can make a little money.
Well, in each one of these things, if you really learn the process and you really learn the industry, mm-hmm. they're all scalable.
That's right.
There are plenty of people that do begin small and then they make a scalable business.
Right.
That
right.
someone can do that earns a living.
Mm-hmm.
You
mm-hmm.
know, you're not going to earn a living off a quail at this point, but it is scalable. There are people who have and do earn yeah. livings off of quail.
In fact, a farmer who lives in a quail farmer, like that's what they do, that lives in Brobridge, came to my house and bought quails from me.
That's amazing.
Because he wanted the particular variety that we had.
Way
like they
go.
Drove from Brobridge and bought like 8 or 10 of them or something.
I need to get some too.
It was cool.
I'm basically doing it to stick it to the man.
I like your reason.
We'll just leave it at that.
Better.
I'm a Gen Xer, man. I rage against the machine. That's what I'm raising little fuzzy farm animals, becoming old McDonald.
Independent.
To rage against the machine.
I like it. If you raise your own food, you don't have to pay taxes on it.
We're getting close. So, well, and part of having this family farm, it's certainly not a family farm without the kids.
Right, right.
That's why we call this show The Household and the Homestead.
That's right.
I believe the household is something that needs to be reinvigorated, rediscovered. It's the primary institution in Bible times. Mm. We want to reinvigorate the institution of the household.
Right.
One of our strategies for our church is building back better households.
Mm.
Make households great again. That's what we're up to. But also the homestead, where households are becoming more independent. They're
right.
independent
right.
In their food. They're independent in their skills and their knowledge. They're
right.
working together as a family to produce a product.
Right.
Now, we don't have necessarily a productive family and a household business yet.
Mm.
But we're kind of, all of this is just laying the baby, taking the baby steps toward that productive household, that productive economic unit, where the subject of home economics would mean something again, because we're producing a product or delivering a service,
right.
and we're passing down this skill and this capital down to the next generation.
Mm.
You see, that's why I say we're sticking it to the man, because I do believe that's the number one threat to statism, is the household.
Yeah.
And especially the household who's developing productive property.
Right.
In our case, a little homestead as the baby steps of that.
Right, right. Absolutely.
So that's a little of the philosophical background for this whole episode.
I like
it. But part of that philosophy is you got to teach your children where babies come from. Got to teach them to be fruitful and multiply. You can't leave that to the government to do.
Right. That's right. Well, what are they going to tell them in the first place, especially nowadays? I see the statistics that we have in the notes. A third of kids coming up today profess to be bisexual.
A fifth.
That's crazy.
One-fifth of Gen...
That's 20%.
Z professes some form of bisexuality. Now, that doesn't mean that they all are homosexual, but they profess the curiosity, or they profess to be bisexual. Yeah, our world is perverted and is actively engaged in discipleship. God created them male and female in the image of God. He created them.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to rebel against God, you got to go right there to, you know, that's the jugular. That's the heart.
Mm-hmm.
You got to rebel against that basic reality and say there is no male and female.
Right.
Because there is no God.
That's right.
I mean, evolution implies no male and female. Evolution implies 37 genders. It's random. It's chaotic. It's not purposeful. Biology, there's no design or purpose to biology. Evolution implies sodomy, homosexuality, bestiality, incest, 35 genders. That's the Darwinistic worldview fleshed out all the way. But in Christianity, we believe in the dignity of man, the humanity of man, the reality and the essence of genders. And so we're teaching all of these things to our children. We're making sure we protect our children from the perverts and from the prudes and teaching them the proper biblical understanding of sex education.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
And, you know, and we have right here in the notes to talk about this a little bit, but the church has not been a big help in this area. The institution of the church, I should say, generally.
Say it louder. Say it louder for the people in the back.
Let me say it this way. Youth groups are greenhouses for fornication.
Yes. And
sodomy.
There it is.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's
absolutely.
Right. Look, okay, so Confessions of a Former Youth Pastor. I should write this book. I remember coming up in youth groups as a kid, And I knew what, whenever I got hired as a youth pastor, what was that, probably 7 years ago, 8 years ago, 9 years ago, something like that. Not at this church, at a previous church. I knew the things, the pitfalls, the things to avoid, the no lock-ins. We ain't doing none of that nonsense. You're going to put, you know, 17, 13-year-olds who just discovered that they have genitals in a room together all night? That is a terrible idea. That doesn't take a lot of thought. We got to think through this more, man.
Right.
But all these different pieces.
Can you imagine all the married couples having a lock-in? Like, people would think, what in the world?
Well, I think they called those swinger parties back in the days, wasn't it?
Ooh-wee.
Key parties, like that. Something like that? That sounds appropriate. Not appropriate.
Now, what is a greenhouse? A greenhouse provides the perfect environment for little seedlings.
Right.
The little passions, the romantic feelings.
To grow.
To grow and to blossom. That's it's right. Only natural.
Mm-hmm.
You see, social intimacy, relational intimacy, the intimacy of touch and looks and glances and dancing slowly and mood and music and words of affirmation. These are all the early stages of romance. Read Song of Solomon.
Right.
This is how sexual desire is aroused. This is how another person is wooed or romanced. See, in the church, we are providing these atmospheres. The Christian school celebrates proms and homecomings where people are literally expressing horizontal desires vertically, where they are bumping and grinding on each other.
Right.
And
right.
I know of one particular prom where the chaperones, while standing creepily along the wall, watching this sexual arousal, and anyone who doesn't think slow dancing is sexual arousal is foolish. Ask any dude if he's aroused. There is objective fact to that. Everyone who wants to know knows.
Correct.
All the creeps watch around the room.
Right.
And I know of this one where they literally had a spotlight. And we're going somewhere with this.
A spotlight.
And when the kids did what you naturally do when you are cultivating intimacy and sexual arousal, they would spotlight them. Literally hit them with the high beams. Okay. So take all this together. What I'm saying is the church and the Christian school is creating a greenhouse, and when it finally bears fruit, then they gotcha. They're like, hold hands, pet one another, kiss one another, stare into each other's eyes, spend long, lonely, or long, solo, private time together, sharing thoughts and dreams and hopes. Pretend basically like you're married. You're 14 years old. You are barely sanctified by the Spirit of God. You're making all this provision for the flesh. The flesh is getting nourished, it's getting all the nutrients, all the water, all the sunshine it needs. And then when it finally bears fruit, which is natural, that's how it works, guys.
God made it that way.
Then they're like, sinner. Gotcha, sinner. So it's this,
how dare you do that thing that we've been slowly guiding you to for the last 7 years.
You two get in the back seat, but don't have sex, or we'll get you. It's this creepy.
We're going to turn the lights down way low. We're going to put you guys in here with some romantic tunes. Now, don't touch each other.
And then when you touch, we're going to spotlight you.
Yeah, that's
because,
wild.
You know, because we're not legalists like Christ Church. We're not legalists. No, listen, this is some form of creepy prudishness blended with perversion. It's satanic. They are putting kids in homosexual, sodomite, fornication greenhouses, providing all the nutrients, all the atmosphere, even the whole worldview of antinomianism, the total lawlessness, not preaching the whole counsel of God as it pertains to fleeing youthful lusts. As it pertains to controlling oneself, as it pertains to all of not making provision for the flesh, all that the Bible says about that. And then when it finally bears fruit, then the kids get shamed. Then they have to go in front of the youth group and confess what they did. I hate that. I hate that. I have a lifelong mission of exposing that and making sure that we develop a culture at Christ Church which is honoring to God,
amen,
chaste, faithful, and not filled with shame and guilt.
Right.
Not filled with shame and guilt.
Avoids it from the beginning.
Yeah, because we're not cultivating it.
Right.
Of course, when people sin, they sin, and there's forgiveness for that. But what sort of a thing is there for a church that cultivates it? And then when they finally get what they've been cultivating, they shame. That's demonic. Not going to go there.
Right.
That's not going to happen.
Right.
And one of the ways we avoid all of this
is by having
the talk.
Having the talk.
That's we have so many shows to do on this. We have a lot of shows coming, all about this area of teens and children and sex. We got a lot to talk about.
Right.
Okay. But this is just the beginning. The importance of having the talk. You got to have it. Because the church is not gonna.
Correct.
The church institutional is going to actually, in many ways, work against you.
Oh, dang.
So, now, your kids need to know what's happening to them.
We need to say that part loud, though. Whose job is it to have the talk?
Parents.
Boom. Mom and dad. That's your job.
It's your responsibility.
Absolutely.
God has given them to you to steward, and you are to teach them the whole counsel of God. The dad, especially, is as a prophet, priest, and king in his own family. He is to be king, and that is to enforce the rules of God's law. He is to be prophet, to warn. He is to be priest, to intercede on behalf of his child, to ask God for grace that they might walk in his ways virtuously.
Amen.
The parent is responsible. Not the church, not the school, certainly not the government, but you don't want the people with the guns giving the sex talks, right?
Right.
Right? Okay. So
we got that.
The parents are the ones who have the responsibility, and they had better. It is important to do because out there in the world, even in the institutional church, you're not getting any help. You're not getting any help.
Right, right. Man, I want to say so many things, like ask so many. I know we're going to do shows about the practicalities of it later. And
we're going to do a show next time on teaching your children about sex informally. And then we're going to do a show on teaching them about sex formally.
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
Then we're going to talk about helping them make the transition from single to married, delivering your daughters as chaste and pure virgins, just like Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians. You know, obtaining a wife in holiness and without defrauding your brother, as Paul talks about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're going to talk about all these different things. Today, it's important to for everyone just to tune in, to listen. Can you say tune in anymore?
Yeah, why not? Tune in. Yeah. Click play.
If you don't do it,
download. Subscribe.
Someone else is doing it.
That's exactly
the neighborhood
right.
kid is telling them something, or the neighborhood neighborhood kid's niece that comes hang out on the weekends is telling them.
That's right.
You know, somebody's telling them.
You got to be out in front. We knew with our kids. So Marie is 11. I think she's 11 now. We knew early on that there was no waiting to have these kind of conversations. I think that we broached the subject with her whenever she was around 8 or 9, because we knew we had to. We couldn't wait that long.
Because she was inquisitive.
Well, she was inquisitive, but also we knew the world that we were living in.
Yeah,
right?
Sure.
Like, we hang out with folks at times that not necessarily is a part of our church, or maybe even is, that might not hold the same standards as us, and we didn't want to run the risk of having somebody else introduce the subject first.
And you don't want it to be like it's some deep, dark secret, you know, taboo
right.
that we don't talk about. It's just go ahead and start talking about it. And you see, now we're getting into our show next week. But just real quick, just go ahead and get started at an early age,
right.
at an age-appropriate, proportional level, using euphemism when necessary, so that when they have questions, you answer them, and over time, they learn more and they learn more. This is informal instruction. We're going to do more of that next week.
But
it's important to go ahead and do it. We had animals for almost all of our child's life. And so, wow.
A lot easier.
You know, the cows got out and ran over to the neighbor's property. And his bull.
Was a bull.
It's not as bad as it sounds.
Acted like a bull.
He was on the other side of the fence, so it wasn't as bad as it could have been. But he ran up on them near the fence. And, you know, we got in the car later after we rescued the cows and brought them back. And one of my kids was like, are our cows pregnant now? They're all three of my little ones are sitting in the back seat. My older, you know, this is a different story for her. But the three younger ones sitting in the back seat, and they're like, are they pregnant now? And it was my wife or I. We said, no, that's not how it works. And we thought it would be done with that.
And then they said,
how does it work? You see, of course, they kind of already knew because they study bees. We have bees.
Right.
You know, my son has drawn a bee mating diagram back when he was in second grade for his teacher.
He knows how. He works like this.
He even had all the words, the scientific data, and his teacher had to come to us and say, just so you know.
This is going
Jews
on.
Drawn. I was like, yep, you know, that's he how knows. It works. That's a drone. That's the queen. You know, that's how it works. So, yeah, that's how it, you know, that was one of many informal opportunities that we seized in that moment.
Right, right.
And so, you know, it as they come up. But, you know, just take anything from this particular podcast today. It's important to do it. You got to do it.
You got to have the talk.
Well, listen, Deuteronomy chapter 6.
With your children.
Deuteronomy chapter 6 says to the fathers, to the mothers, that they have to teach their children all that the Lord has commanded.
Amen.
It's supposed to be a part of your life. It's supposed to be written on the doorsteps. Mm. You're supposed to talk to them with, talk to them about it as you walk along the way, as you rise up, and as you go to bed. Right. Everyone's familiar with Deuteronomy chapter 6.
Right.
It's supposed to be a way of life.
Amen.
All of life is to be communicated to the child through the lens of the Bible.
Amen.
Including sex education. Mm. Proverbs chapter 5 is a beautiful example. I love it. We'll close with this.
All right, go.
He warns his son of the crafty woman. All of Proverbs is warning his son, and one of the things he warns them about are the two types of crafty women.
Them dead gum women.
Two types of crafty women. Not the Proverbs 31 woman, not the virtuous woman.
Oh, no, that's a good one.
You see, that's where the son is being told what to look for.
Mm-hmm.
This is how to find a compatible spouse. Mm-hmm. But they're warned about the crafty woman, the one who's out in the city gates, and, you know, driven by ambition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's got a short skirt and a long jacket, cutting through red tape with a machete. She's that ambitious, hard charging corporate climbing at the gates, trying to be the head instead of the tail, sort of a crafty woman. You got that one type, and then there's the other, the seductress, whose lips drip like honey.
Mm.
And so he's warning his son, but notice what he's not doing. He's not, you know, he's not like being silent and being prudish.
Mm-hmm.
He's showing, this is not repression, it's direction.
Mm-hmm.
He's teaching his son what sex is for, how the positive, outlet for it that God has designed in marriage.
Mm-hmm.
He's teaching his son to drink from his own well, to love the embrace of his own wife.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
All of this is exemplified for us in the Bible. Mm-hmm. The parents are responsible, and the parents must engage in having the talk. But even that expression is not helpful. It's not this one-time thing you do.
Mm-hmm.
It's a life of interpreting all of life through the lens of God's Word, including sex.
Our kids don't let it be a one-time conversation anyway.
When
we have the subject broaching moment, and then a few days later, Dad, you said this. Can you tell me more?
Yeah. And if you answer their questions proportionally,
mm-hmm.
as they are younger and they get older, they'll want to talk to you about this
That's
stuff.
Right. That's right.
And they won't be off to deal with these things on their own.
Yeah. You want to be the subject master here, not the television.
And you want to just answer it straight up, matter of fact, no taboo.
Right.
No, nothing perverted or weird about this. This is how it is.
This is how God made it.
This is it.
Amen. Amen. Guys, thank you so much for joining us for another episode of The Household and the Homestead. We'll be talking more in our next couple of episodes coming up in the following few weeks about how to do it. So both the, what were the terms you used?
Informal instruction.
Informal and formal instruction. And how to make this raising up your children in the image of God a pattern of life as well. If you're looking for ways to get more information about this subject or other subjects taught by us here at Christ Church, you can go to wearechristchurch.com and click the media page to find things there. You can also go on any place that you find podcasts and search Household and Homestead, or you can go to sermonaudio.com and search keyword We Are Christ Church. Thank you guys so much for joining us, and we'll see y'all next time.